over and over I'm recognizing is that this kingdom is a kingdom of paradoxes.
It's a kingdom where everyone is invited, and yet no one could get in on their own. It's a kingdom where people that you think are going to be around the table, you don't expect them, and yet there are others who you think you expect to see around the table are not there. It's a kingdom that says, Jesus says, I am available to everyone, and yet my standard is so high, none of you would ever make it. It's a kingdom that says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus says, I am the truth. Go back to John chapter 14, verse 6. This is actually a few days before this event happens. Jesus is standing there in the middle of Passover, and he says to them that you've heard about truth. You've heard about what is true. You've heard about the scriptures. You've heard about all these concepts. And yet Jesus says, all that is fine, but I am the truth. If you want to know what's true, listen to me, he says. Recognize my voice, he says. I mean, nowadays, how many times do we have these polarizing views? It seems more and more nowadays in our day and age that it just seems like everyone is either on one side or another. Very few people nowadays are kind of in the middle. Chances are you're on one side or the other of almost every single argument. And nowadays, it gets so polarized that people on this side are so bent on saying, this is what this is meant to be. And the other side say, no. Is what it meant to be, and I'm not going to listen to you, and I'm not going to listen to you. And all of a sudden, there's this divide that keeps happening over and over and over again. And yet, in the midst of that, how many times would you sit in there and actually hear what is Jesus actually saying from there? Now, it's not to say that every single thing that this side is saying is true. I'm not suggesting that you have to affirm every single thing that everybody says. But what is it in that conversation that Jesus is saying, I want you to listen to this? I want you to hear this. You know, nowadays, one of the big issues out there is how do we handle sexual identity? And on the one hand, you got a group of people who are saying, you know what? This is what we think, you know, if biologically, this is what you are, this is what you are. And all this other stuff about gender dysphoria and everything else, it doesn't make sense. And so some people listen to that and they're thinking, well, this is what it is because this is what Scripture tells us. That's what they're saying. And then you got this other side who are saying, well, there's all these people who are feeling this, whatever sensation you want to call it, and yet they'll look at Scripture and say, did Jesus ever even identify this? And so they'll start making that argument about, well, the Scripture doesn't actually talk to this specific issue, so really what you're saying over there doesn't actually apply here. And back and forth this goes, back and forth. And yet in the midst of that, a couple of the key premises that we miss is that when you're on this side, you're saying this is what it is and this is what you got to follow, this is what's objective. One of the things that we fail to hear a lot of times is what exactly is the hurt and the pain that some people are feeling. That may not even necessarily be the result of their own sin, but the result of the brokenness of the world, that they're feeling something that you can't just automatically dismiss. That you can't just automatically say, well, it doesn't matter. There's something about the core of what some people are feeling that somehow Jesus wants to address. So what is it? What is it that you're hearing in that? And on the other hand, at the same time, one of the premises from this side is to say, if you feel it, then it must be true. Hold on a second. Just because you feel something, does it actually make it true? Maybe over there that we've got to listen to, what exactly is God saying about what humanity is meant to be restored to? That we've lost track of. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Are you paying attention? Don't be so quick to grab what your presuppositions are and assume this is actually true. And maybe there's a lot of things that you've studied over the years, you know, about Jesus that is true, But in the midst of that, how is God still shaping that? Because as I keep growing older and older, and I am getting older and older. In fact, the other day I walked into a store. The cashier, as I was checking out, said to me, "So are you a senior? Will I get my discount?" But in the midst of that, are you noticing what Jesus is saying in that conversation? As you're delving into some of these root issues, as you're delving into some of these things that are really complex, are you actually hearing the voice of Jesus? And as we head into Advent, starting next week, as we head into the season where we remember not just Jesus' first coming, but we also anticipate a second coming, in the midst of that, will you listen? And maybe part of that is just even taking time. I mean, as Andrea was saying earlier, there's sometimes when it just seems like we're just going, going, going. Over this Advent season, would you take time, 5 minutes a day, just to sit in silence and listen to the voice of Jesus? And maybe even ask, in the midst of this, what are you showing me that I've never noticed before? What are you trying to help me to understand that I've never recognized before? Or maybe something that I've tried to hold on to, but really God is saying, you know what? What you're looking at there isn't what I actually intended it to be. And see what happens. So in a moment, the worship team is going to come back up to continue to lead us in response. But as they do that, let's just take the next 2 minutes. 2 minutes in relative silence. And listen to the voice of Jesus.